Tim. Tim is younger, but I'm better looking. No, I'm. Don't tell him I said that. Oh, it's on tape. He'll hear it for himself. No, it is an honor to be here today. I met your pastor 2 years ago at Lake Aurora at a men's retreat. Saw him there last year, and have been in some discussions and said, hey, if you ever need someone to come and preach and come and love on your church, I will be your guy. And so we finally have that opportunity today. And I have two of our seven recently adopted children with us. You might have saw them earlier today. They were all over the building. I was a little concerned that they were going to be nervous, but they were everywhere. I have our four-year-old and our six-year-old. They have a younger brother who's actually three. We have a three-year-old, a four-year-old, a six-year-old, a nine-year-old, a 11-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 13-year-old. And we recently adopted them. We have three children of our own that are grown. Two of them are married. And I'm giving you the Reader's Digest version this morning. And then in this family that we recently adopted, they have two younger children that were recently born. One is almost two, and he's in another foster home. And one is almost 3 months, and he's in another foster home. So they have nine total children in this family. So we have been busy the last couple of years. But the little four-year-old that I have, his name is Jesse. And I call him Full Throttle. And his brother James isn't here today, and I call him Wide Open. Because that's what they are. Anyway, enough about our family, but we're glad to be here. I, years ago, was a youth pastor in Fort Pierce, and I worked with a gentleman named George Randolph that lives right down the road on 78. And Joe and George are my Florida parents, okay? And I stayed with them last night, and George is retired and now preaching again over in Port St. Lucie at one of our churches, Westport Christian Church. Anyway, I don't know if you've been to the doctor recently. Anybody been to the doctor recently? If you have been recently, you will identify with this story. Bubba walked into the doctor's office, and the receptionist asked him what he had. Bubba said shingles. So she wrote down his name, his address, medical insurance number, and told him to have a seat. 15 minutes later, a nurse's aide came out and asked Bubba what he had. Bubba said shingles. So she wrote down his height, his weight, a complete medical history, and told Bubba to wait in the examining room. A half hour later, a nurse came in and asked Bubba what he had. Bubba said shingles. So the nurse gave Bubba a blood test, a blood pressure test, an electrocardiogram, and told Bubba to take off all his clothes and wait for the doctor. An hour later, the doctor came in, found Bubba sitting patiently in the nude, and asked Bubba what he had. Bubba said shingles. The doctor said, where? Bubba said, outside on the truck. Where do you want me to unload them? Okay. I thought we'd start with something funny today. You could appreciate that maybe. This is entitled, God Give Us Men. And today my message is simply this, and I'm sorry ladies, I'll try to have as much for you as I can, but it's this message today, since it's Father's Day, I decided to give a message on the measure of a man. And actually, most of the message relates to men, but as far as I'm concerned, from one man to you ladies, this is our gift to you today, okay, being the mom. And I'm sorry I wasn't here on Mother's Day, or I would have given a message for mothers. It's simply entitled, Give Us Men. God, give us men ribbed with steel of your spirit, men who will not flinch when the battle is fierce, who won't acquiesce at the bargaining table or compromise in principle. Give us men who won't retreat on the battlefield, men who won't sell out for lucre or convenience. God, give us men who won't be bought, bartered, or battered by the enemy, men who will go the distance, pay the price, suffer the loss, make the sacrifice, stand the ground, and hold high the torch of conviction in the face of pressure. Give us men obsessed with the principle instead of pleasure, committed to your word, stripped of self-seeking, and a yen for security. Men who will pay the highest price of freedom and will go the length for truth. God, give us men delivered from mediocrity. Men with a vision high, pride low, faith wide, love deep, and patience long. Men who will dare to march to the drumbeat of a different drummer. Men who will not surrender a right for a mess of pottage, or run from the trials, or evade conflict. God, give us men more interested in scars instead of medals, work instead of leisure, challenge instead of easy projects, and in winning instead of just a tie. Give us men who will give their lives for a moment in time. Give us men who are fearless in the face of danger, calm in the midst of criticism. Give us men who will pray earnestly, work hard, preach clearly, fight bravely, love ridiculously, and wait patiently. God, give us men whose walk is by faith, whose behavior is by principle, whose dreams are God's, and whose direction is forward. Give us men whose strength is equal to the task, men who won't fade under the searchlight of the enemy, who won't fear at the shouting of the opposition, who won't bend under the heavy load of responsibility. Lord, give us men who are willing to be a minority, to stand for an unpopular cause, who can perform without approval and applause, and who can stay in the battle without being stroked, thanked, awarded, or promoted. Give us men who are willing to forfeit personal preference for the higher cause, personal rights for deeper responsibilities, and convenience, comfort for consecrated convictions. God, give us men. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for the opportunity to worship you. Thank you today for every father in America. And Father, thank you for those homes that even don't have fathers today, physically. Thank you for the wonderful, godly people, whether it be a grandfather, whether it be a grandmother, whether it be a mom, whether it be a brother or sister, whether it be any other family member that is standing in that gap today. God bless them. I know, Father, as a husband and as a father, over the last several years, I know personally, God, how our lives have been transformed. Because in a moment in time, we chose to reach out to a sibling group of seven children and give them a hope and a future. And so, Father, thank you for all of the fathers in America today. And thank you for this church, that it will continue to be a beacon of light in this community and beyond. Thank you for this opportunity today. We pray all of this in the powerful, precious name of Jesus. Amen. The measure of a man. Men, it is time for the men of America to take a stand. It is time for the men in our churches to take a stand. It is time for the men of Buckhead Ridge Christian Church to take a stand. A stand for God. God has called us as men to step up to the plate and make an eternal difference in the lives of the people that we come in contact in a daily basis. It all begins with our call. men, what has God called you to do? Do you have a purpose for your life? Do you have a life verse? And this even applies to you as ladies. If you are a believer, my question to you is, do you have a life verse? Have you ever wanted to tell, or has anyone ever said to you, get a life? Well, today I'm here to say unashamedly to you, get a life verse. This book is full of life verses. Years ago, I was challenged to get a life verse. My life verse is Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Years ago, I was given that verse and claimed that verse as my life verse. 16 and a half years ago, I married my wife, Darlene. Guess what? One of my first questions to her was, Darlene, do you have a life verse? Yes, I do. What is it? Psalm 37:4. Isn't that good? Isn't God good? All the time. Get a life verse. One of those scriptures, Psalm 37:4, is daily everything is delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Let me give you a word for each of those letters. Daily everything laid into God's hands triumphantly. Church, that's the way I try to live my life. That's the way I've tried to live my life since I've got my life verses. Daily, everything laid into God's hands triumphantly. Let me encourage you today. Find a life verse. This book is full of them. You can claim mine if you want it. I don't have the market on Psalm 37:4. But get a life verse. Moses. Turn in your Bibles today if you have them with you to Exodus chapter 3. Let me read for you the first four verses. Exodus chapter 3, page 41 in my Bible. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock into the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the brush. Moses saw that through the brush, though the brush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the brush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here I am. God calls a man into His fiery presence. Men, we need to live our lives in the presence of God. The man who fears drawing near to the flames of God's Spirit at work will never experience a complete burning away of fear and pride. God calls a man, in verse 5, to remove his shoes. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. The issue here, men, is not bare feet, but the removal of one's own self-support. In other words, God wanted of Moses and of each of us a will to put nothing between ourselves and Him. And standing barefoot in the rocky terrain of the desert, as Moses did, will cause a man to walk more cautiously to God. God calls a man to know his heart. Let's look at verses 7 and 8. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. God calls a man to know his heart. Notice how it is in God's presence that Moses learned of God's gentle heart, loving concern, compassionate nature, and desire to heal and deliver. Our communities and churches need the same characteristics in the men who live there, in the husbands and fathers and grandfathers who live and serve in their communities. And then also in verses 9 and 10, "And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." For Moses, the call was to lead a nation, whereas our call might be less visible. Our call might not make as much noise. But make no mistake, we are leaders. And there is no avoiding the fact that people around us will be affected by whether or not we accept our call to God's purpose in our life. The measure of a man is understood when a man understands his call. What kind of man is God looking for? I'm glad you ask. He's looking for a man of character, a man of devotion, a man of integrity, and a man of leadership. Let's look at a man of character. One of the outstanding ironies of history is the utter disregard of ranks and titles in the final judgments men pass on each other. Samuel Bringle of the Salvation Army said those words. "The final estimate of men shows that history cares not one iota for what the rank and title a man has borne or the office he has held, but only the quality of his deeds and the character of his mind and heart." In other words, it matters not what you've done, men. It matters not where you've been or the quantity of what you have. But what really matters is the quality of your deeds and the character of your mind and heart. It's been said that character is who you are when no one else is watching. As men, it is when we are alone with Almighty God that determines who we really are. Men, when was the last time you were alone with Almighty God? When was the last time you were on your face asking Almighty God what He wanted to do through you? It has been, how do we build character? We build character by facing the storms of life. Now this next part is not just for the men today. This next part of what I'm going to tell you is for everyone. God does not take us through the storms of life, church, just to take us through the storms of life, even though that's part of His purpose. God takes us through the storms of life not only to take us through those storms, but He takes us through the storms of life to prepare us for the next one. And there will be a next one. And let me tell you something I've done over the years to prepare for the storms of life. One of the things I've done over the years to prepare for the storms of life is I've learned, thank you, Reed, I have learned to crawl up in God's lap and let God love me. And there's only two reasons, church, that as a believer that you can't crawl up in God's lap. One of the reasons is the enemy says, you're not worthy to crawl up in God's lap. The other reason is you tell yourself as a person, I'm not worthy to crawl up in God's lap. And what you have to do is you have to learn when things are going well before the storm, you have to learn to crawl up in God's lap when things are going well. And let me tell you, church, God has a big lap. He's got plenty of room. So when you learn to crawl up in God's lap when things are going well, when the storms of life come, you know where to go. Years ago, I went through a personal time in my life that wasn't very good. And not only did it happen once, it happened twice. The second time it happened, I flew all the way back to Washington State where I was in ministry, to my best friend's house, spent a day in prayer. At the end of that day, I saw him as I was leaving his house, and he said, I wasn't worried about you because I knew you knew exactly where to go and you weren't going to waste any time getting there. So when the storms of life come, even before they come, learn to crawl up in God's lap, learn to let God hold you, learn not to make any decisions, and learn to let God love you. He is our Abba Father. He is our Daddy. Okay? He is our Dad. And how appropriate that is for Father's Day. What is the benefit of building character? It allows us as men not only to strive to survive those storms of life, it assures our families that we'll have a safe place with which to dwell. I'm not talking about just a safe place physically, but I'm talking about a safe place mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Let me tell you the greatest blessing our family has experienced in adopting 7 children. The greatest blessing we've received as a family is because our life verse is now Jeremiah 29. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You know what my wife Darlene and I now have the opportunity to do every day? Is we have an opportunity to give 7 children a hope and a future that they never would have had. And do we do that? No. God does that every day. That's the opportunity that we have. And where you are in your family, you may not have 7 children. You may not have any children. You may not even be married. But let me tell you, there's children out there all over the world. Tim and Tina are going to find out firsthand this week. They've already been there, but they're going to find out firsthand this week. They are ministering to a lot of little people. My ministry philosophy is little people, lost people, lonely people, less fortunate people. You know why little people's first? Because all of us were little people before we were a lost people. Little people, lost people, lonely people, less fortunate people. Those are the people you want to touch. And those are the people you always want to be with. Men, it's time for us to take a stand to protect our communities, to protect our churches, and to protect our families. A man of devotion. David was a man after God's own heart. We must understand that David was a man. He wasn't perfect, just forgiven. Life's a journey, it's a process, and men, our purpose in life is to bring glory and honor to God. Strive to become fully devoted followers of God. You know, it's been said that we are poor by the things we miss. Sometimes, men, something comes our way and we just don't feel like going. We don't feel like participating. Sometimes we just don't want to go out of our comfort zone. And sometimes we just lack the discipline, or we're just lazy. It's time for the men to rise up, take a stand, quit turning our heads, and realize that there's a lot of life out there we don't want to miss. A man of devotion, a man of integrity. The dictionary defines integrity as the state of becoming complete, unified. When we have integrity, our words match our deeds. In other words, what we say is what we mean. Jesus talked about integrity. Do you know that? Jesus was all about integrity. He said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." That's integrity, man. A person with integrity does not have divided loyalties, nor do they pretend to have something to hide. They have nothing to fear. Integrity is not so much what we do, it's who we are. We have a tendency to work on image rather than integrity. Image is what people think we are. Integrity is what we really are. You'll like this, especially the ladies. Two older ladies were walking around in somewhat an overcrowded English country churchyard and came upon a tombstone. The inscription said, "Here lies John Smith, a politician and an honest man." "Good heavens," said one lady to the other, "isn't it awful that they had to put two people in the same grave?" I'll let that sink in. A man of leadership. Everybody talks about it. A few people understand it. Most people want it, but few people achieve it. What is it about leadership that is so intriguing? Perhaps it's because we spend so much time trying to define leadership. Maybe we need to spend time just doing leadership. John Maxwell said, "He who thinks he is leading when no one else is following is only taking a walk." In a word, leadership is influence. The issue is not whether you influence someone. What needs to be settled is what kind of influencer are you going to be? Charles Stanley once said, "Are you spending time with people? Are you investing in people?" We spend a lot of time with people, don't we? We spend a lot of time with our families. We spend a lot of time with our kids. We spend a lot of time with our neighbors. We spend a lot of time with the folks we go to church with. But let me ask you something. Are you just spending time with people, or are you investing in people? Leadership is not just about you. It's about other people. Howard Hendricks has said it well. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Everybody needs a Paul. Everybody needs a Barnabas. And everybody needs a Timothy. Now let me be spiritually and politically correct this morning. For you ladies, everybody needs a Paula. Everybody needs a Barbara. And everybody needs a Tina. Okay? Everybody needs a Paul or a Paula, an older man or woman who's willing to build into your life. Everyone needs a Barnabas or a Barbara, a soul brother or sister, somebody who loves you but is not impressed with you. Okay? Somebody who loves you but is not impressed with you. Somebody that will ask you the tough questions. And everybody needs a Timothy or a Tina, a younger man or woman whose life you are building into. Leadership is not just about us, it's about our investment in others. How will God know when He has found a godly man? Godliness will be evident in our worship, in our words, and in our walk. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We'll see the measure of a man or a woman in their worship. Ecclesiastes 5:1, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they do wrong. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. The measure of a man is seen in his words. Verses 2 and 3. 3 says, as a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. And then the measure of a man is seen in his walk. Verses 4 through 7. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It's better that you do not vow than to make a vow you do not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you to sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, my vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God. I conclude today's message in a simple song, and I will not dare sing it for you. That was not one of the gifts I got. But I will say it to you, and it's simply entitled, The Power of a Moment. And this is for you, men, and this is a gift to you, ladies, in your home. What am I going to be when I grow up? How am I going to make my mark in history? What are they going to write about me when I'm gone? These are the questions that shape the way I think about what matters, but I have no guarantees of my next heartbeat. And my world is too big to make a name for myself. And what if no one wants to read about me when I'm gone? Seems to me that right now is the only moment that matters. You know the number of my days. Come paint the pictures on the canvas in my head. Come write the wisdom on my heart. Teach me the power of a moment. The power of a moment. Men, we only have a moment to make an eternal difference in the lives of the people we come in contact with. From our family to your family, let me say thank you for the opportunity to finally be at Buckhead Ridge Christian Church. I have committed my life to encouraging pastors, churches, communities, families, and people. I have a ministry now called Next Level. It simply is to encourage, to equip, to equip and empower people. I am blessed that 2 years ago I met your pastor and had an opportunity to spend 2 retreats with him over the last 2 years. But I realize that today, on Father's Day, while your pastor is in Haiti on a mission trip, it was no accident that God had the right moment for me to be here and share this message with you. So from our family to your family, we say thank you. And I hope the next time, whenever the next time is, that I get to come to Buckhead Ridge, I promise you I will bring my entire family in our van, which we now almost fill up. But I will bring my entire family so that you can meet the rest of our children, and you can also meet my lovely wife, who is the reason I get to stand before you today. And also because over the years I was raised by a godly grandmother who has stood in the gap for 56 years. Now she's gone home to be with Jesus, but she's still standing in that gap. I still have a moment in time when I look up or I'm driving down the road and I hear or see my grandmother and that image, knowing that she thought I was a little crazy in adopting 7 children. But anyway, I am most blessed to be here today. And thank you so much. And I've heard so many things about Buckhead Ridge. And it was funny, our son-in-law, who's married to our oldest daughter, is a worship pastor in St. Augustine. And I told him this week, I said, Matt, I'm going to Buckhead. And I didn't say Ridge just on purpose. See, there's a Buckhead area of the country in Atlanta, Georgia. And I don't know if you've ever been there or been through there, but it's a very exclusive place that I probably couldn't live. But anyway, so I told him, hey, Matt, I'm going to Buckhead this week. He just lit up and he was like, oh, did Andy Stanley ask you to come up and fill in for him? And I said, no, I'm going to Buckhead Ridge. It's even better. Oh, okay. Yeah. But it is good. And thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. I wasn't told, Aaron, how you all close your service. Do you all offer a time of invitation? But I'll pray and then I'll turn it over to you. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for fathers all across America today. Thank you, Father, that you're our Father. And for all of those homes that don't have a father today, all of those women in America today that don't have a spouse, we thank you, Father, that you're our Abba Father, you're our Daddy, that we can depend on you to stand in that gap. Thank you for this church, for the beacon it is to this community. Thank you for the opportunity for Tim and Tina to be in Haiti with their team. And Father, we pray for their protection and their safety. But Father, we pray that they will see, those little people will see Jesus in them, and not only what they say, but what they do. And Father, we know that there are a lot of things that break the heart of God, and we know that that's one of them. So Father, we just pray for their protection, their safety, and their willingness to go beyond their comfort and reach out and touch the little people, the lost people, the lonely people, and the less fortunate people. God bless this church as it continues to minister in this community. Pray all of this in the powerful, precious name of Jesus. Amen.